Christ Jesus Christ. Amen. My text this evening is from Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Speaking on the subject, like a child. Luke 18, verses 15 through 17, let us give our attention to the Word of God. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And thus we end the reading of God's word. There is a close connection between this passage and the previous one, which we looked at this morning. This morning, regarding the self-righteous Pharisee and the humble tax collector made humble by the grace of God. And here again, the subject of humility comes up right back to back. I know it's not a popular subject these days. I suppose it never has been a popular subject. And I know you don't like hearing something similar twice in a row, but this is the way God put it in his word. So here we go again with a little bit different angle. Jesus and his disciples encounter little children. And so from this encounter, Jesus is going to teach us by his actions, but also by his words. The children serve as an object lesson, but they're much more than that. Children, or adults for that matter, are never simply object lessons. We are human beings with souls, adults and children. So, in verse 15, people brought infants to Jesus that he might touch them. Probably their parents, or maybe relatives, maybe grandparents. So Jesus could touch them. And the parallel passages in Matthew and Mark indicate also that they were brought to Jesus so that he could bless them and pray for them. Had I been living in the first century, I think I would have wanted Jesus to touch my children and bless them and pray for them. A touch communicates. He touched them, he blessed them, he prayed for them. But then the disciples rebuked those who brought the children to Jesus. What were they thinking? Perhaps this is not as important as teaching adults. We don't know exactly. Sometimes we think that way too, don't we, as adults? You know the old saying, children are to be seen, not heard. That's not enforced like it used to be, but that's a good thing. So they tried to keep the children from coming to Jesus. But Jesus had another reaction in verse 16. He called them to him and said, "Let the children come to me and do not forbid them." So the word, Greek word for children here is different, of course, than the word for infants earlier. There were infants and young children coming to Jesus, and he said, I want them to come to me. I want the children to be here so I can touch them, so I can bless them, so I can pray for them. And then he says in verse 16, of such is the kingdom of God. Children are of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God includes children. And of course, that the Reformed churches have recognized through the years, because we see it in Scripture. Infants and children are included. Jesus came to save adults. Jesus came to save children. For such is the kingdom of God, under God's rule, especially his rule over his church. Children are part of this. Now, concerning the kingdom, of course, we know that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, cannot be adopted into the family of God, cannot be saved from sin and go to heaven, cannot have eternal life. Well, some of these little children perhaps had already been regenerated. Some of them would be. Remember, Luke 1:15 says that John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit while in his mother's womb. And you and I both know the disrespect that children in the womb get by our laws in this country. How evil and wicked it is. The Spirit of God works with children as well as with adults. And children are included in God's covenant. When he established this covenant with Abraham in Genesis 17:7, he said, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you." Genesis 17, verse 7. Now, Peter picks up on this in his Pentecostal sermon. And in Acts 2, 38 and 39, Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Acts 2, 38 and 39. We baptize our covenant children. The promise includes them. And we adults, especially parents, are obligated to teach our children the things of God, to teach them about the covenant, to teach them of salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. Children born of a believing parent are part of the church, part of the kingdom, and that's very important for us to remember. Well, you know that. Just a reminder. Now, here in this text, here's the main thing I want us to get out of it. Jesus says in verse 17, "Whoever does not receive the kingdom as a little child will by no means enter it." Verse 17. So, having thought about the importance of the children and their being part of the kingdom, Jesus goes on to say that unless we all become as little children, we shall not be part of the kingdom. One must be as a little child to enter the kingdom of God, and we must be like a child to continue to live that way. Little children, of course, are sinners like bigger people, but they tend to believe what their parents tell them, what adults tell them. They tend to depend upon us adults, especially infants. They have no choice. They make their wishes known, of course, but they have to be fed and clothed and taken care of and carried and so on. Likewise, adults and all people need to come to the Lord Jesus in dependence on him, trusting him, not trusting ourselves to save us, asking Him to forgive us, asking Him to help us day by day. Now, as I was thinking about this and what it means to be like a child, there is another passage that is repeated in the three synoptic gospels that sheds light on this, which will help us through the rest of this sermon. One of the principles of interpretation of the Bible is when one passage is not clear, go to other similar passages that explain it more fully. So, for further consideration this evening, I have a second text in Matthew 18, 1 through 5. Now, this is another incident. This is not the same incident, but it has to do with how Jesus dealt with children. So, in that sense, it's parallel. In Matthew 18, 1 through 5, we read this. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." So, if we are to be like a child to enter the kingdom, what is that? First of all, and these other points will be quicker than the introduction, just to, so you don't think we're going to go on all night. First of all, be converted and become as a little child. Secondly, humble yourself as a little child. Thirdly, receive a child, receive Jesus. First, be converted and become as a child. Jesus said, "Unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." We must be converted, we must turn, we must change in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. The disciples were arguing about who was the greatest. And Jesus said, "You want to be great? Then don't think of yourselves as great. Then don't act like you're great. Then don't believe you're great. Humble yourself. Turn. Change. We must change. The Lord calls upon us to become different. And this is not just like breaking a bad habit. This is not just moral reformation. There are things human beings can do. My father quit smoking cold turkey when he was about 30 years old. Well, I'm guessing. I don't remember exactly what age he was, but he wasn't too old. And he just quit. And that was before he was a Christian. It's not just willpower. It's not just moral reformation. It's much deeper than that. It's something that God must do to us. God must enable us. He must give us the ability to change. And that's called the new birth. Born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Everyone here tonight has been born of the flesh, born of our mothers, born of the body. And many people here, hopefully almost everyone, hopefully everyone, has been born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual life. And He causes the will to change and to want to do what pleases God. So in that way, and only in that way, can we change, can we turn. And as a result of the Spirit's work, a person has been converted, and then a person can convert or turn or change. He or she can repent of sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and give his life to Christ, submitting to him, and then, by the power of the Spirit, live in a different way, though, of course, we are inconsistent. Be as a child and change. Be humble and listen to what Jesus says about this and submit to it. Secondly, humble yourself. In verse 4 of Matthew 18, Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." As children depend on adults, depend on your heavenly Father. Trust him and what he says in his word. Give up your self-reliance and trust in the Lord like a child. Humility is lack of vanity and self-importance. It is an unassuming attitude. It is the opposite of pride. Humble yourself like a little child. And remember the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who left the pleasure and wonder of heaven with his Father and came to earth to live among sinners, most of whom hated him, and finally succeeded in expressing their hatred and having him nailed to a cross, and then humbling himself all the way to that shameful and cruel death for his people. That was humility. And Paul writes, let this attitude be in you. Have this attitude, have this mind. And when you do, then your actions will change. Humble yourself by admitting your sin and repenting, by putting all your trust and dependence on Christ. By self-denial, by selflessness, not thinking of so much, speaking of so much, acting for so much yourself. And you might say, that's impossible today. Do you know what it's like out there in the real world? It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. Well, that's an old expression, isn't it? It tells you how old I am. People are so selfish these days. How can we be humble? They will just eat us alive. Yes, they will try to. And it won't stop. And if you deal with someone who is difficult for you, there'll be someone else. And it will continue until the day you die. So how can I do this? Only by the grace and power of God. You have a different standard to live by, and so do I. So what if people take advantage of me? Oh, they will. You have a brain. You have the Word and Spirit of God. And you can do battle with this sinful world in a Christ-like way because he lives in you. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Humble yourself as a little child if you would enter the kingdom. And thirdly, receive a child and you receive Jesus. If you're in the kingdom, you will receive the child. And in doing that, you receive Jesus. In verse 5, Jesus says, Matthew 18:5, "Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." What is our attitude as adults toward children? Of all people, We who are Reformed and study our Bibles should know the value of a child. We should know that each one is created in the image of God. Each one is a little person with an eternal soul, important in the sight of God. We know that we should love them and respect them. We know that we should read the Bible to them and explain it to them. We know that we should call them to trust in Christ Jesus and repent of their sins. We know that we should lead them by example, and when our example is not good, we should confess it to them and admit it. We know that we should bring them to worship, to Sunday school, and catechize them. We know that we should commit them to the Lord in prayer, knowing that even our best efforts fall short. When Jesus returns to earth, he will say to his people, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was sick and you ministered to me," and so on. And the people will say, "When, Lord? When did we do this?" And he will say, "When you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Isn't that beautiful? That when Jesus comes, people will say, "When, Lord? When did we do this?" Instead of saying, "Yes, Lord, I thought I did pretty well too." Like the Pharisee. Oh, no. They weren't even aware of it because of Christ living in them. When you humble yourself and serve others, even little children, you serve Jesus. Now, it's hard to love that enemy. It's hard to love that person who's hard to get along with, but it's not hard to love Jesus. When you do it to one of these little ones, you do it to him. The message is we have to humble ourselves as little children to be part of the kingdom of God, and we can only do that by his grace. Like a child, trust the Lord in his word. Like a child, humbly believe the gospel and all the promises of God. You see, we make things too hard. Be like a child. What came to my mind was Psalm 131. Three powerful verses. Psalm 131. "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever." Psalm 131. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for loving and taking care of us, all of us, adults and children. Give grace to us adults to learn to treat the children with great love and care. Grant to us, Lord, by your Spirit, a childlike trust in Jesus Christ for salvation and for everyday help.